Hey everybody, Josh Sigurdsson of World Alternative Media here, and we are joined once again by the great David Martin. Really great to see you again, and you know, there's a lot that's happened since the last time we talked about a year ago, go figure. And I wanted to kind of get into the technocracy issue a little bit with you today, right? Because I think, you know, coming out of the pandemic, we were tested in so many ways for compliance into a new system of technocratic governance, the QR codes, everything. One of the things I wanted to start off by asking you about is the move into carbon credit scores, the move into social credit scores in a new cashless economic system. We're seeing an energy crisis that's being exacerbated, a supply chain crisis, etc., and the collapse of a dollar. So I wanted to start by asking you what your views are on the issue of carbon credit scores going forward, and how close do you think we are to that kind of scenario?
Well, that's a real question insofar as we do nothing. So left to its own devices, this train has left the station. And we're already seeing very many elements of this. But the problem that the incumbency has right now is they underestimated the fact that what was supposed to be a rollover and adopt and acquiesce populace just didn't quite roll over as well as they wanted it to work. And what they did, and I've always said to people, they overplayed with the second shot in the booster. Right? If you would have just stayed with the plan one, just line up and get a shot, you probably could have pulled this off. But the problem is that when they started saying, well, the first shot's not good enough, get a second. The second one isn't good enough, get a third. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to give you an annual flu and shot plus all this kind of stuff. Here's the problem. The problem is the people who actually smelled the rat at the beginning already see the rat. But people who thought they might have smelled something off now know it's a rat. And so what's happened is the very inertia that they were going to use to move the mass adoptions forward didn't quite work. I gave a speech at the Arlington Institute a few months ago. And in that speech, I talked about the fact that to pull off their stunt, they had to create an October surprise. Now, the good news is that they almost tried. We had some satellite blackouts over the Ukraine, allegedly. 1,300 satellites went dark. We had a bunch of things that were supposed to be the thing that was going to introduce this calamity that was going to make us adopt a digital currency. Just like we were supposed to get social scores, just like we were supposed to get our menus on QR codes so people could find out where we were and what we were doing and what transactions we were doing. And all of those things were supposed to be seamlessly implemented. But they made a fundamental internal engineering problem, and that is they decided to do it on the back of a network that is susceptible to EMP. And there's the problem. The problem is all of these plans, and they are numerous, and they have all kinds of wonderful implications on how tyrannical they can get. All of these can be taken out by an EMP. And what they thought was that they controlled the EMPs. But there's a tiny little problem. Electromagnetic pulses do not require nuclear weapons. They do not require, you know, some sort of nefarious private control. EMPs can be generated by a lot of things. And if you're trying to be the agency of control, and then you find out that there may be other sources that could actually counterattack your plan, then your plan sucks. And so the great news is they actually played all their hand. They played that, let's get everybody on board, let's everybody adopt this. And the bad news for them is they left out one tiny little engineering piece. If it has to go through your cell phone, they lose. Because it turns out that that system, since the Kennedy administration, and you heard me right, the Kennedy administration, since then, since the National Telecommunications Act, which allowed the federal government to eavesdrop, to redirect, to manipulate anything that gets broadcast over any telecommunications or radio signal, since that act, the single largest susceptibility problem the incumbency has is of their own creation. They built, unfortunately, their own Achilles heel. And by the public, like you and I, having this conversation, they actually now know that the plan isn't going to work. Because the only way it does work is if we play on their network. But that's an assumption. That's not a given. And the bad news is they now know that.
Well, it certainly feels as though we're witnessing the controlled collapse of an empire. Like, they want the system to collapse. We have BRICS coming up, you know, out of Asia right now, and there's a lot of people talking about that being the new cashless system. And we've seen so much transhumanism in the last few years, this push for gene editing technology. A great example, and I know you are brilliant when it comes to patents, the Moderna master patent that they have on nanotech technology, and now they're talking about how they're finding nanotech in people's blood, and it's stuff that sounds crazy, but you look at the documents, you look at the patents, they're obviously, why would Moderna have this? And moving out of that, you know, we're getting hit with the idea of mRNA infused foods. We're getting hit with you know, meats in Washington State that are said to be, the 2 out of the 10 cows are dying from the mRNA shots. But the point is, it seems like they're trying to not just collapse an empire, but pull us into basically a new transhumanist age. So do you think that they're, you mentioned, like, they're showing their hand. We have COP27 happening right now. John Kerry is openly saying we need governments, corporations, and banks to work together to bring in, you know, carbon credit scores. But out of convenience, out of desperation of the masses, when there's no food on the shelves and all these things, do you think people will just easily fall into this trap despite being awake? I mean, if you have to get food, if you have to heat your home, surely there's going to be, and we saw that in 2020 and 2021, a lot of people who will comply.
Well, up to a point, but remember that that also is prior to what's going to happen in Europe. You know, the Ukraine war was a manipulation of the environmental movement. The only reason why we are having a war in Ukraine is for the theater of the environmental movement, because they're trying to break the Russian connection to the energy of Europe. And I understand that from a geopolitical sense. But there's a problem. The problem is this winter, and by the way, 10 Downing Street already calls it a war footing. And we're in November, and they're calling it a war footing. There are going to be towns across Europe. There are going to be towns across the UK where people are going to freeze because there isn't enough LNG. When the Green Party of Germany is advocating for the use of brown coal, and I remember the sentence I just said, the Green Party of Germany is currently advocating for the use of brown coal because the environmental movement decided to shut down nuclear power plants in Germany. Now, everything I just said is certifiably insane, because what this means is that we have created a crisis in which, with prior knowledge, we're going to allow people to freeze to death. We're going to allow factories across Europe and across the UK to go out of production because we decided to pick an environmental war that has nothing to do with what that factory was doing, nothing to do with what that home was heating, nothing to do with any of that. We decided to let those people be casualties. And history is not kind to people who do that. So we can actually sit there and go, yeah, COP27 is doing, they're doing, World Economic Forum doing what they're doing, you know, the Democratic Party here in the United States doing what it's doing, the alt-left is doing what it's doing. I get all of that. And all of them are assuming that they can just keep playing this indifference to human life, this indifference to the sovereignty of what it means to be human. They're playing that game. And the great news is they're so addicted to their game, they're not actually watching the other signals that are in the system. And this is where I have nothing but confidence about our future. Because our future is built not on watching them play their game to its end. Because they will. Right? I'm not going to get John Kerry to sit down with me and have a rational conversation. I'm not going to get King Charles to have a rational conversation about the climate. I'm not going to do any of those things. But I can guarantee you, when it comes to you get to heat your house using the energy that I'm producing here in Utah, or you get to die, guess who you're going to listen to? You're going to listen to the new emerging solution set that's going, yeah, you wanted to take us out. You wanted to kill us. You wanted to starve us. You wanted to freeze us. You wanted to do all those things. And that's how you were going to get your agenda forward. But I can guarantee you, on the day that the choice is I freeze to death or I listen to a different model, that choice is going to fall on the different model side. And it's not going to fall on the side of the people who brought you the shortage. This is France at the French Revolution.
This is a call to action, everybody. I want to make sure that our viewers have the preparations in place necessary to survive what's coming next, from energy crisis to food crisis, I urge you guys to check the links below. Check out Lion Energy. We have a link in the description. Never run out of power. You can get lithium batteries. You can get solar generators. You can get power banks. You can get solar panels. Again, this isn't about some kind of environmentalism. This is about the control collapse of the grid so that they can enslave you to the Great Reset. So I urge you to check out Lion Energy in the description below. Also, as always, check out heavensharvest.com and get long-term storable food that's non-GMO. You can get heirloom seeds. You can get water filtration and storage. You can get books on gardening and survival that you need to get started. You can use code WAM, W-A-M, and you get free shipping in the United States. And even if you're not in the United States, I still urge you to use code WAM because it helps keep our operation alive while keeping you alive.
And I have to ask, because, you know, I watched your speech and it was brilliant. And by the way, we're at the Red Pill Expo here. And you mentioned at one point, you know, voting elections are selections. And this is something that, of course, many of us have been saying for years. This idea, I don't think anyone's going to argue at this point that government is organized crime and with cheerleaders, right, essentially. But this idea of constantly voting for new people to come in and save us from the problems they created in the first place, it seems inhuman. And we are witnessing essentially a war on humanity itself. Right. Everything that makes up humanity. What do you suggest people do then outside of this circular pendulum of going to the state and asking them for permission? And then, you know, how should people withdraw from this system?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, I've said to a number of people, and I have a whole program on Kim and my Fully Live Academy, where we walk through this whole question about what does it mean to be a human and move out of the system? Because it turns out that what you find is that once you take the first step out, the rest of it is easy. Because you find out there is actually a better way to live than all of the ways you're living right now. So that's why we do that at Fully Live Academy. But the short answer is this. When we look at the entirety of how societies have always been organized, we have decided on a macro narrative. And the macro narrative is one that says that there is going to be a father figure, mother figure, political figure, king figure, president figure, congressional figure. There's going to be someone out there who's going to be looking after and solving our problems. And that fundamental paradigm of there's the out there that's going to solve the problem is the problem. We're looking for saviors. That's a fundamental problem. Because what we're doing is externalizing our energy and allowing many things to become distractions. We're having conversations that we shouldn't be having because they achieve nothing. Do we need another conversation on election fraud? Because that's an oxymoron. We don't have elections, so what on earth is a fraud of a fraud? Right? The problem is we're sitting there going, I want voter integrity. Really? That would assume that any part of voting and or elections has integrity. But last time I checked, the reason why somebody sits for Congress, the reason why somebody sits in any place is because they raised, what, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to allegedly be qualified to lead. Well, last time I checked, no civilization where leadership was determined by the amount of money you had has ever survived. So we're debating these things, and the problem is we're putting real time and effort. We're putting real cognitive gray matter, you know, input into things that are irrational. And then we create the illusion of a problem and we look for a savior. Well, here's the problem. The problem is we are, in this particular instance, our collective savior. Until we start looking at each other and going, what piece of the solution do you have? What piece of the solution do I have? What piece of the solution does everybody else have? And why don't we start aggregating those things? Why don't we start calling leadership what leadership used to be? Because in the Old Testament, for example, King David, perfect example. You know what he was? He was a shepherd. You know what he had? A couple stones and a staff. That's what he had. He did not have weapons. In fact, when he was given weapons to go fight Goliath, he said, hey, these don't work for me. What does work for me is this leather strap and these river stones. That's what works for me. He never took on the trappings of leadership, yet as a human being, fully in the presence of all of his raw human potential, went out and did something that none of the incumbency could do. That's the story we need to be telling. We need to be telling the story that says we're enough. Not we're deficient. Not that we need somebody else to go solve the problem. We need to be telling a story that we are not only adequate, but fully equipped to do things. And that's the message that we're missing. Because when we sit there and push it off and say, it's this political system, it's this government, it's this religion, it's this whatever, is going to be the savior, we've missed the point.
And you know, after seeing the potential of more than 100 million people dying off in the next few years from these death shots, or not even vaccines, you know, part of me feels honored to be living in a time where instead of having to read the histories of the past, we are building a new civilization, essentially. Absolutely. Do you think we're on the heels of this new civilization at this point?
Listen, if we go back to the 1400s and we ask the question, out of the Dark Ages, right? When Pope Innocent III instituted what became the Inquisition for 200 years, he suppressed inquiry. And Europe didn't solve its problem. Asia did. Chinese traders, the Zheng He fleet, very famously, early part of the 1400s, it was people from the outside who came in not knowing that they weren't supposed to ask questions. You know, they had maps of the skies, and they had maps of the world, and they had spices and fragrances, and they had all kinds of interesting stuff. And Zheng He fleet sails into, I don't know, places that were on the Levant and places in what is now Europe, and go, hey, this is cool stuff we found when we went around the world. And people go, what? Around what? Around the world? What? You know? It wasn't Europeans who kind of like morphed their way out of the Inquisition into the Enlightenment. It was some energy from the outside who said, look differently, right? The reason why many of the star charts in the roofs of Florentine houses and castles have Chinese star maps is because the Chinese star maps were delivered to give rise to the innovations that became what we call the Enlightenment and the Reformation, all that kind of stuff. The Renaissance was born not of an evolution, but of this inflection. And that's where we are right now, right? The reason why you and I are having the ability to listen and speak and then ultimately influence the thoughts and the creativity of, what do you say, 4.5 million people, right? Why is that possible? It's possible because I'm not coming to you sanctioned by some authority somewhere else. I'm coming to you because I'm living proof that a human being can look at a problem and not look for someone else to solve it. That's the human story. And as soon as we start sharing that story, what happens is people start going, oh, well, maybe I can do my piece, and maybe I can do my piece. And before long, what you do is you have a proliferation of what is in fact going to be the end of one phase. And we will actually step into a new one. And how cool it is to be alive right now, because we are living that transformation. And there will be a time in history, and by the way, marked with a great deal of grief and tragedy. I'm not diminishing the hundreds of millions of people whose lives and livelihoods are lost because of what has just happened. That is a terrible tragedy. But like every other human tragedy in transformation, there has always been an incumbent system that cares zero for human life, cares 100% for their dogma, and those are the people who actually at their metastatic extreme, which is exactly where they are right now, are the cancer that kills the old body and gives rise to the possibility for something new, and that's exactly where we are.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we will be writing that book in a few decades from now. I know you have to go. I want to quickly ask, how do you feel about the ideas of voluntarism? Like the idea of, they call it anarchy, but you can call anything anarchy these days that involves Antifa or anything like that, obviously. Yeah. But the ideas of just free market, individualism, no government, unless no rulers, but you can have rules. That idea, what do you think?
So here's the thing. Any system that puts friction in the way of the best human expressions is a bad system. It doesn't matter whether it's a government, a religion, anything else. If you decide to take the beautiful human creation and enslave it, for whatever reason, for any agenda, it's wrong. And for me, that's an absolute. There is no justification for something that deprives you of liberty or me of liberty. That said, my liberty has to happen in discernment. Because if my liberty extinguishes an option for you, then I need to be held accountable for the option I extinguished from you. Right? It's not acceptable to live in a world where it is purely the chaos of the who can aggregate, control, manipulate the most, right? So a free market, genuinely without ignorance arbitrage, is actually a beautiful solution. But the criticality of ignorance arbitrage needs to be front and center. If the only reason why you favor me is because I haven't told you the truth, then you're not favoring me. I'm manipulating you. And that's where we have to really examine the whole idea of limited liability corporations. And we have to examine these whole things, like what happens when a corporation is granted immunity by a government to kill people. Like, those are real things we have to examine, because right now our corporate models have extinguished accountability. And what we have to have is liberty with accountability. That system will be the best system, where government's role is not to actually put friction into it, but add fluidity and currency into it to take down barriers, to take down borders, and to make things more seamless in their transmission. And so I'm a big fan of that notion of free markets, but I'm really a big fan of liberty and accountability, because I think you put those two things together, the vast majority of humanity comes to the right solution.
Well, that is the message behind human nature in general, liability or accountability, I should say, and liberty. So I really appreciate everything that you do, and you always say it so well, so I appreciate that. Can you tell everyone where they can find your work and continue to support you? Because you've been, I first saw you in around April of 2020, I believe, in Plandemic, and it really just, it shaped my view of everything over the last few years quite a bit. And I know a lot of people really appreciate you and want to help support you in some way, shape, or form. So can you tell people where they can go?
Yeah, the best place to find us is at fullylive.world. That's where Kim and I have most of our stuff. Obviously, davidmartin.world is my kind of geeked out place where I put my books and my thoughts and things like that. But there's a link from fullylive.world, so you get to see all Kim's flair and fashion and all that good stuff. And then you get a little bit of me. And then fullylivacademy.com is where we have decided to make a huge amount of this information available if people want to go really deep into any of the themes. So we have a bunch of stuff there. And really appreciate the time. It's lovely to chat with you.
Yeah, great to talk with you. Thank you again.
You bet.